The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
It is a new era here at MLWRadio.com. As you could hear, we got a fancy new intro as well. This is me, your host Striga, alongside with the sky blue, hot-blooded southern boy himself, Dylan Harris. Dylan, how are you?
I feel great, although I never really identified myself as a southern boy. Although I am from Memphis, born and raised, proud, the mecca of wrestling in general in America, but I feel the winds of change swept through MLW recently.
Oh, yeah.
And with it, much like when Charmander evolves into Charmeleon, who evolves into Charizard, I feel like this show has really evolved.
Evolved, you say?
Yes, yes. So both the intro, as well as the content we're bringing. As it's always been good, especially since I came. But now it's becoming great, I feel like. And I'm so excited for today's show, Striga.
Oh, man, yeah. We got a bunch of topics to discuss this week. When we talked about our topics off the air, we already pushed back the Super J Cup. We are pretty much going to do a special episode on the Super J Cup and everything in New Japan because we have so many topics to get into. Just wanted to quickly say I was out yesterday night again watching the game Germany versus France. Well, didn't go so well for Germany. Let me just put it this way. Our chances for the final got deleted.
So, who would be the Senior Benjamin of Germany?
That's a good question.
Would it be Gotze?
It would... he's not as effective as Senior Benjamin.
No, he's not.
Really, this year there's really nobody sticking out. It could have been Mario Götze, Mario Gomez, of course, but he was injured. So, yeah, good luck to France. I hope they win it all now. And let's just get into our topics. This morning, actually, when I woke up, I felt the urge to watch the latest All Japan show. I haven't watched it all, but I watched the two main events. Match for the All Japan World Tag Team title, the Big Guns, Zeus and the Bodyguard, defending against Daisuke Sekimoto and Yuji Okabayashi. And also the Triple Crown match, Kento Miyahara versus Kengo Mashimo. What did you think of those two matches?
I thought the tag match was definitely full-blown hoss battle.
Yeah.
With the Big Guns delivering what you would think that they would deliver. Bodyguard, kind of the weak link, I thought, in this match. This was still really good. The other three were strong, and I really think Zeus, in particular, has really stepped his game up this year in 2016. And Strong BJ, I was so happy with the result here, Strong BJ getting the tag titles, because that means we get to see more of them in All Japan. We love them in the Big Japan, and we love them in All Japan, and I was very happy with that match and how it came across. What did you think of that match?
Definitely a great horse battle, as you said, and especially Yuji Okabayashi. He's now a tag team champion both in All Japan and Wrestle One. He's also the Big Japan Strong World Heavyweight Champion. It's really the year of Okabayashi right now.
He's basically Superman.
Yeah, pretty much. Daisuke Sekimoto did an extraordinary job to put him over as his... yeah, pretty much his student, and it's just amazing to see those two together and putting out their German suplexes in this match. There was this one triple German they did, and in the end, I watched the finish. I watched it, I think three or four times. Bodyguard was on the mat down. Daisuke Sekimoto just picked him up to this monster awesome. Deadlift German suplex, and the announcer was going totally crazy on this. This was a finish like you've seen it from Japan. The announcer just going all in and just screaming from the top of his lung, and it's just added so much to the match.
Who can enjoy this style of match?
I don't know.
With these, you know, and that finish in particular, it looked to me like Bodyguard didn't want to take it. Like, as he was going up, you kind of see his mind.
Yeah, he was
like,
grabbing for the ropes.
Yeah, he's like, oh no. And then the second one was like, oh yes. that was just awesome. I also want to mention, before I talk about the main event, there's also another match on this card I recommend for you. Yohei Nakajima and Kazuhiro Tamura for the TV title was a really strong match. So everyone watch that, and maybe we'll talk about that some other time.
But I saw the first match that the two had on the show in early June. It was also pretty good.
Yeah, and Yohei is awesome. Tamura is really good, too, representing Heat Up. And as far as this Triple Crown match goes, honestly, I can't... It's hard for me to really put into words what I feel about this match. To me, when I first watching it, my thought is that it was my match of the year. I think that maybe... I don't know how many people think. I think it's definitely in the conversation, though. Because I thought this was a spectacular match. Even better than their 30-minute draw in the Champions Carnival. To me, there was so much great work with his style. And he has a unique style. Not only as this bruiser, as we can see, but he can also be a technician. He can also bring out submission.
Oh, he had so many awesome transitions to his arm locks in this match. Just fantastic work from both.
Oh, and Miyahara. Like, to me, I said episodes ago, but to me, he has to be the MVP of a singular promotion, not necessarily as a wrestler. But to me, as a wrestler, his resume keeps growing and growing here. I loved his performance here. He's so emotional in his performances, and every one of his matches has such drama to it. His match with Sekimoto as well. And he has a way of doing this, because if you just look at his moves on their own, you can see that he kind of uses that blackout knee. He relies on it a lot. But the way he does it is you never know when it's coming.
No.
And that's what makes it so great about it. Like, I always had this problem when we saw Shinsuke Nakamura at his Bomaye, that he would just use that knee over and over again. But somehow or other, Miyahara, when he does it, he just has that surprise factor.
Right.
I've never seen for such a devastating move like that. And as I said, to me, what makes him stand out is just the drama after this match. He comes across like a true champion, like a true ace of a company.
Pretty much has to win something in this year's Tokyo Sports Awards. Maybe the MVP, maybe the Outstanding Performance medal that Yuji Kobayashi got last year, but something has to be in play for Miyahara.
I loved Mashimo, too, in this match. As I said, I think he's fine just now. He's been good for a long time in K-Dojo.
Oh, yeah, he was a great heel in this match. Just at the beginning of the match, when they went to the outside and he took a chair, and Kyohei Wada had to take the chair away. And his whole crew from Michinoku from K-Dojo came along and distracted the ref. And you could see Mashimo just smiling with his evil smile behind Wada's back and just putting the chair on Miyahara's arm. It was great moment.
Mashimo's awesome, too. I really hope he sticks around in All Japan figure, because he's really proven his worth both in the Champion Carnival and this match. Where would you rank this match? Because Miyahara's had a lot of great matches this year, specifically Triple Crown defensive.
I don't know if I would put it the Champion Carnival match, but it's certainly up there. It was a fantastic contest. Two guys with essentially the same story they had in the first match, but with the champion being smarter and being able to survive all these arm attacks, and that made it great.
Yes, and I love that 30-minute draw, too. I think a lot of people liked it less because of the draw, but to me, that didn't take anything away from it. So when I say this match was better than that, they're both really great, and everyone should watch them. I just think these two are just so great. I love this company right now, All Japan. They've got a great ace. They've got a great undercard. Everything they're doing, I really love. And Miyahara is the leader of the clubhouse with that right now.
Right now, yeah, he is. And we have Zuwama coming back this next week, actually. He's coming back. And business has been good for them recently. They have sold out house shows. And
that's another reason I say Miyahara is the MVP, because if he does not have this reign, and he does so good in a lot of ways, I think he's just, I don't know, there's no real way you could say specifically what it is, but he's just got something. And ever since that they put the title on him, things have considerably gone up. And they're not out of the woods yet, necessarily, but they're on the right track for the first time. And last year, they weren't even, they weren't even close to this level last year. And Miyahara specifically, I think they owe a lot to him, and because a lot of people thought that he wouldn't be able to handle it or he wasn't ready, but he really has caught on, and I love the guy.
Yeah, we've talked about that numerous times. They aren't All Japan still has a long way to go, but certainly on the right track right now. But as you said, they have their issues money wise, of course, and that's the reason why the guys that last week actually left WrestleOne haven't been seen on All Japan cards in July, but some of them are working Big Japan, some of them are working 01 as well. The contracts of Akira, Minoru Tanaka, Ryota Hama, Yasufumi Nakanoe, and Tajiri, they expired on June 30, and I heard some rumblings of that the day before, actually. There was another name in the play for maybe leaving the company, which was Ikemen, Jiro Kuroshio. But he ended up staying and getting essentially a Muta-style gimmick, great Muta-style gimmick. Where do you see, one, those five guys going, and two, WrestleOne going?
I think Nakanoe should be in Big Japan feuding with Hideki Suzuki, personally.
he is, actually.
Yeah, I know, and he needs to stay that way.
Yeah.
But Akira, it's funny because all I've heard about him is that he's also like an actor
type person
on the side. Yeah, so he doesn't have to really wrestle if he doesn't want to. I don't really know what promotion he would even fit in, to be honest with you, outside of WrestleOne.
I can really see him just slowly phasing out and just going to be an actor. And he also has this I don't know what the name of this promotion is. It escapes mind right now, but there's this mix of arts and wrestling where they dress up really, really fancy in Japanese gear and in Japanese clothing styles and painted faces, and he has that going for him as well. But yeah, maybe wrestling, he could be done with wrestling, I can imagine.
Yeah.
For Minoru Tanaka, of course, his wife, Yumi Fukawa, she has cancer, which means for him to look after her, of course.
Yeah. And I love Tanaka. He's an amazing worker, still. Always one of my favorites in New Japan. Where he could go anywhere, because he's a person that almost the opposite, where he could fit in any company, really.
Yes.
I'd love to see him in 01, because Otani has his, guys, Takaiwa, Kanemoto, all the guys from New Japan in the 90s, pretty much. I'd love to see him work there, and the schedule wouldn't be as ardent as other companies, but he could go anywhere as a freelancer, and I'd love to see him, because I think he's really talented.
Yeah, and one guy who already made his way to 01 is our man here, Ryota Hama. He's in the Fire Festival. He wasn't on the WrestleOne Grand Prix final card. We're going to talk about the Fire Festival in a moment, but the fifth guy that left, he was already on a spot contract, which meant he was only paid for his appearances, was Tajiri. And Tajiri, of course, made his way back to WWE recently when they had this Cruiserweight deal. Could he be one of those veterans that are talked a lot about in recent weeks for the WWE roster split?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen with him. In terms of the Cruiserweight Classic thing that also Kota Ibushi, Akira Tozawa are also involved in, I think he'll probably have a good run. He's not really a contender to win or anything like that, but he'll put some good matches. He has a lot... a lot of people I've talked to have said he has a good mind too for wrestling. I think he has a lot to offer behind the scenes, and maybe he could come out again as a veteran type player, as you said. On NXT, they love giving these kinds of guys a couple of one shots just to throw him a bone. And he's still all right. He's a shell of what he once was, obviously, but he's still pretty good. I remember a match of his against Taka a couple of years ago, and that was really good.
Oh, man. Oh, I loved that match so much. That was in back in Wrestling New Classic.
Yeah, his old promotion.
The promotion that he had after Smash.
Smash.
And then Tajiri went to wrestle one with Ikemen, with Koji Doi, with Akira, with back then Ryan Fujiwara.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing one of them, but it's been a bumpy road for all of them. Basically, leaving All Japan in 2013, I believe it was. Then going to Wrestle One, Tajiri closing his promotion, Wrestling New Classic, going to Wrestle One, and then all those guys leaving. And don't forget that also Masakatsu Funaki left last year, and. On the last episode, as I'm on the name of Funaki right now, I mentioned him wrestling Atsushi Onita for the Blast King title in Osaka. And he is really doing this double shot of doing the death match in Osaka and then rushing over to Kobe to do the match for Dragon Gate, which is incredible.
And here's what I think about that. It's a payday. You know, he gets paid for wrestling Onita's crazy promotion, and then he'll, you know, the Dragon Gate spot probably won't be too taxing on him. I doubt they have him lined up for a 20-minute match or anything like
no,
that.
No, I but. see them pretty much doing a UWF-style match in Dragon Gate, which is a nice change of things for a Dragon Gate show. It's certainly a great day for one Masakatsu Funaki. The match he has with Onita is a three-way current blast bat and current blast board death match with three bats hanging from three corners, and in the one corner there is a exploding board of sorts, and it's going to be something.
Oh, it will be a spectacle.
Yeah, and on the topic of Wrestle One, they recently finished their Grand Prix, which was won by Manabu Soya in the final against Yuji Hino, which should be a great match. And now Manabu Soya is headlining Yokohama with Kai.
Okay, first of all, before we even get into this, are you aware that Kai lost after winning the title to, I believe, Jiro?
He lost, actually, to Busaiku.
Yeah,
which is the evil character that looks astoundingly like Jiro Kurushio.
I'm sorry.
Which is Ikemen, of course, means good-looking guy, while Busaiku in Japanese means ugly guy, which is fantastic. But yeah, I saw he lost. Yeah. What?
I said, I don't care what he's called. Why did Kai lose to him? Like, as the champion.
Well, I don't know. This maybe they...
This is insane!
Just flipped a coin? I don't know.
That's the only logical explanation. Kai is the biggest geek in wrestling through no fault of his own. And I hate it. I hate it. But I love it at the same time because he's the champion.
He's
and
the
he's
champion.
Made a bit and he's 5,000 seat theater.
Right. And he's also the new King of DDT tag team champion with his brother-in-arms, Ken Oka.
Oh my god.
Which is my new favorite tag team.
Oh, mine too. I love Kai. So, I wish he didn't have to deal with insanity of Wrestle 1 and his booking, but I'm happy because despite losing everything, pretty much being the Goto of Wrestle 1, he still is the champion somehow. And that warms my heart. And I do think he will defend the title successfully against Soya. And that's another problem. And Soya, he's a good wrestler. You know, Soya's good. He's had a stay in All Japan, was liked there, and continued his run here. But those two on top in this at their biggest show of the year, I wonder if Shuji Kondo and the booking team in Wrestle 1 has taken some crazy pills when they laid this show out, because and really up and down this whole card, I don't know. I'm almost at a loss for words to even know what to say to comprehend all this. But they did bring in some pretty good stars, though.
Oh yeah, this card is incredible. But the problem being that apparently both Shotaro Ashino and Jiro Kuroshio are injured. The card would actually be it's not every match is official right now, but it would be like this: the Wrestle 1 Cruiserweight title, Kotaro Suzuki defending against Yusuke Kodama, who is returning from the USA. We have Hiroshi Yamato returning to the ring. Then a special 6-man tag match, which is incredible: Toru Owashi, Shuji Kondo, and Brother Yashi taking on Kaz Hayashi, Dick Togo, and the Great Sasuke.
I love that they booked this match, because this does take some guts to put on the classic Impro versus the classic Toriumon style. So I do think that will be an entertaining, very entertaining spectacle. We know on big shows, if you're a fan of the Great Space War matches in Michinoku Pro, Sasuke is not afraid to give up his body for our entertainment.
And he's also working the Big Japan show on the 24th.
Sasuke, he has the heart of the warrior, the eye of the tiger, and I can't wait to see that match, the six-man, as well as anything he does in Big Japan. I don't even need to know who he wrestles. Whoever he wrestles, I want to see it. Big Japan,
he has a six-man tag match with his Muno Tayo guys, with the Brahmin brothers. Let me quickly search. It's the Great Sasuke, Brahman Shu, and Brahman K taking on Atsushi Maruyama, Shinobu, and Toshiyuki Sakuda.
All three of those guys against Sasuke, to me, is a draw right away. Right. I love those guys, and I love Sasuke, like I said. Doesn't matter his skill or what's left of him. Like I said, he will put it all on the line, and that alone deserves our respect and our admiration, in my opinion, because in some ways, when you look at him, when you look at a lot of his matches, and I've looked at his entire career extensively, it really is amazing to me how he's as healthy as he is, able to walk the way he does. And I hope that he has fun doing this. That's really what I want most of this match in BJW or the Wrestle 1. I hope he has fun in this match.
Exactly. That's what it's all about right now for the Great Sasuke. And as we talked about this tournament, this is pretty much going to be a tournament-heavy edition of the Eastern Lariat, as there is also a tournament coming up in 01, which is the Fire Festival, the 16th Midsummer Celebration Fire Festival 2016, which has some incredible matches coming up. We have Shinjiro Otani, Masato Tanaka, Kamikaze, Koei Sato, James Raiden, Buffer, Shogun Okamoto, Ryota Hama, Yusaku Obata, and Fujita Junior Hayato. Dylan, it's gonna be Ryota Hama and Fujita Junior Hayato.
Just, do you need to say anything else about this tournament?
No.
That match right there.
Actually, I have to say something, but first go on with your analysis.
I was just going to say, the first thing that stood out to me when you posted the photo of this on Twitter, all the guys that were in the tournament, was look at what Fujita Junior Hayato is wearing. Look at that man's style.
Yeah.
how could you not be pulling for him to win this tournament? Also, the fact that he's a freaking incredible pro wrestler. And I can't wait to see any of his matches, because 0-1, unfortunately, they don't make tape a whole lot.
No.
That company, sadly. And I really like them when they do. They have a lot of interesting things going on. And this is definitely interesting. But we will get a few shows, and I think Fujita Hayato will have... I would love to see him get a big push here, a big win, because everyone always clamors. Anyone who knows him from Impro wants him to say, you know, let's get out more. Let's wrestle in different places in the Tokyo area that makes tape more, because Impro makes tape even less than 0-1.
Yeah.
But everyone knows that he's awesome. I'm really looking forward to see what Obata does in this tournament. I think he's pretty underrated. Buffa has gotten a lot of talk and a lot of praise, just being like, who is this guy?
Right.
And he's actually pretty good.
A lot of people have been asking, who's this Buffa guy? He made his way into the business around, I think, 2002. That around that time, he was he
wasn't in, he in New York
in the like in that? The in the New York area, right? And he was actually a part of the tag team All Money Is Legal. He was Chaos in that team.
Yeah.
And he has pretty much been all around the East Coast. He wrestled for example, for WXW on the East Coast, for CCW, for New York Wrestling Connection, for Jersey All Pro, for all those companies. And he then made his way to 0-1 and has become a regular for them. I think last year he has been over there for most of 2015 and 2016. And he has recently won the... United National Heavyweight title. They have, it's pretty much a mid-card title in 0-1. And he was going to be in the Fyre Festival, but this morning I read that he has a cervical spine injury.
Oh, no.
He suffered in training, and it's looking like he's not going to be in the tournament with this kind of injury. But he's going to... He really... The statement made on the 0-1 homepage was that he really wants to be in this tournament, and he's going to see another doctor and to maybe get a different notice from his doctor, but certainly doesn't look like he's going to be in.
Yeah, it's too bad. The best way I can describe him, if you've never seen him, he kind of like has a Jet Set Radio Future gimmick.
Yeah.
He comes out with a boombox sometimes. He's like I said, he's a solid wrestler. You know, we've only seen him a couple of times just because of 0-1's schedule, but he looks like someone with good potential, and hopefully he's okay. I really don't want to see somebody messing with a cervical spine injury or testing that too much. There's always next year, Buffa, you know, if you got it. But if he's okay, I'd love to see what he brings to the table. A lot of good guys in this tournament. Sato, obviously, he brings the pain. Otani is obviously always awesome. And all of those guys, like I said, Obata is someone I think is really underrated.
He is, yeah. I hope he's getting a good showing in this tournament. Maybe even going to the finals or winning it this year, because they need to do something with him. What?
Yeah, he pinned Sato a couple of times on the tour leading up to this. So I do think they have plans for him. And he, like I said, he's really underrated. I'd like to see either him or Hayato get a big finals push. I do think in the end that... They have Rydeen there. They like to go to him in these kind of spots. Sato is always reliable. But I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to predict that Obata wins the Fyre Festival this year. He gets the full push and challenges Sato for the title.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
That would be something else. And among all those great matches in the tournament, which of course we are going to see again, a 0-1 Classic. This was actually the match that hooked me on 0-1. Shinjiro Otani versus Masato Tanaka in the I believe 2002 Fyre Festival around that time, and I became a 0-1 fan. And sadly, they don't make tape as often now, but a lot of nostalgia with 0-1 for sure.
Yep.
And they have an amazing match coming up when they co-promote with Super Fireworks on the 18th of this month. A barbed wire current blast death match. Masato Tanaka, Shigusa Nagayo, and Go, a trainee from the Toriumon / Dragon Gate dojo, versus Taru, Takuya Sugawara, and Voodoo Mask.
That sounds horrible. I don't think I'll be tuning in for that one. But I just want to comment, because I don't want to think about that match right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Shigusa Nagayo. Like, you're one of my favorite wrestlers ever, but no. I have a lot of nostalgia with 0-1 too, as I posted this one time with this long thing about how I started. My original favorite companies were 0-1 and Ice Ribbon, the Joshi promotion, and one of the matches that really made me love 0-1, and I always liked 0-1, but the match that I really relate to most is Akuta Hidaka and Daisuke Sakamoto from the New Year's Day show in 2011, which is very obscure, and then that got me going back, obviously, with the archives that are out there now.
Oh.
But I always root for 0-1. I think they're a great promotion to follow. Very easy to follow. Like I said, they're not on tape a whole lot. They're kind of an underdog promotion in a lot of ways, I think. But all the guys that they have are hardworking and kind of underrated. Like I said, Obata as well as Hidaka. And they bring in good talent from Big Japan as well as Fujita Hayato. So Hideki had a great run with them last year. So they're a promotion to watch if you... You know, if you're someone who only watches New Japan and NOAH or something like that, they're a good promotion to check out and follow because they have a lot of hardworking guys.
Definitely. And as you're on the topic of hardworking guys, a guy who worked extremely hard in this year's King of DDT tournament and, in my eyes, being the MVP of this tournament was Shigehiro Irie. And
Book Irie.
Book Irie, right? Our good friends at Wrestling With Words, the Puro in the Rough podcast, they started the Book Irie hashtag on Twitter, and he's getting some bookings in the USA right now, and I'm happy for him that he's going to get some new experience in the US. And what did you think about his performance in the King of DDT tournament?
I really loved his match. I didn't watch every match of this tournament up and down, but I did see his match versus Ishikawa, and man, just like, to me, Irie, when you look at him, is just so, he's got such a unique look, first of all, with the hair, with his size, and obviously in DDT, he's kind of the guy that's always stood out to me, as well as in his tag team. For some reason, I'm blanking on the name of his tag team. Help me out with that one.
A Team Drift.
Yeah, Team Drift. With Ishii. And to me, this match with Ishikawa was just a straight power battle with these two. And to me, I can't wait to see what he does in America. I've seen a lot of reports that he's just going to be here for a while in America. We don't know where he's going to go. A lot of rumors are that he'll be on the West Coast. And that leads to all sorts of speculation that I don't even want to get into about, because it'll just lead to disappointment.
Well, I knew for a while that he was learning English. And
yeah.
I figured, I didn't know the reason why he was learning English, but I figured either he would be in the Cruiserweight Classic, but he's too heavy for the Cruiserweight Classic, or he would go to an excursion to the USA, which he's doing right now, and I hope he's doing well. He's a incredibly sweet guy. I know he looks up his name on Twitter, and he sometimes gets really sad about what some people write about him when they say that
Why?
He's not used well in DDT, and then he just gets sad and just considers DDT a great home for himself, and they really made
him. I can't wait to go back to watch the match versus Higuchi.
Oh yeah, the match with Higuchi. Again, Higuchi is a standout trainee from the DDT dojo. That was a good match as well. I wouldn't put it up there with right with the match versus Ishikawa. Was very similar, of course, as Ishikawa and Higuchi are both big guys. But just the amount of punishment that Irie suffered in this match against Ishikawa was just incredible. Ishikawa just managed to cut off every bit of offense that Irie had going for him in this match. And he just wanted Irie to win so badly. And after he then lost to this running knee, which is an amazing finisher as well, as we're talking about knee strike that Miyahara does. It's not as flashy with Ishikawa, but it is certainly a devastating move with his pure size that he has. And
that's like his entire moveset.
Yeah. He's throwing guys around with power bombs and hitting them with knees. Yeah.
I was really impressed. I loved the booking, too, of the match that we had. It was kind of like we had two power guys with Ishikawa and Irie, and in the other semifinal, we had Endo and Hirashima, which are also kind of similar guys. So I loved that they had, like, two pairs of similar types go at it. Then we had the finals with Ishikawa and Endo, which... I thought it was really great.
Yeah, was maybe the best performance that Tetsuya Endo ever had. He once had a great match with Keisuke Ishii as well, in Shinjuku Face, I believe that was. But certainly, again, a similar type of match with Endo being much shorter than Ishikawa, of course, and fighting against this giant. And this amazing moment when Tetsuya Endo just gave him the torture rack bomb. That was incredible.
Oh, yes, the tower hacker bomb. That was really great. And also, leading up to that, there was a moment where Endo went for a Pele kick, but Ishikawa just caught him and set it up really good into the Fire of Thunder, but Endo slipped out and ended up hitting the sliding D, which I thought was a great moment. And then, as you said, it built up to a big suplex, which was really impressive and cool. And then he hit the Tower Hacker Bomb, which I thought was awesome. There was such a great dynamic of this match. Endo showed great heart. And him. There was a great moment, too. I thought the moment of this match, arguably, was Ishikawa had Endo up for the Splash Mountain, and Endo did a perfect counter into a Rana, which, it felt like the entire arena thought would be the finish. And it really is a credit to Ishikawa that Endo came across so believable winning this match. Those moments, as well as his Sky Twister press that the entire crowd popped for, I thought both men did a strong job in their role. And Ishikawa, he's just a destroyer. Like you said, his moves aren't always as flashy as others, but he has so much power in all of them, and I just love Ishikawa. I think he's another guy that's just had a really great year, up and down. Every time I see him, I love seeing this guy on any card.
Yeah, and now he's Shuji Ishikawa is going to headline the big Sumo Hall show for DDT, I believe on the 28th of August, against the champion right now, Konosuke Takeshita. What do you make of Takeshita's run so far as the champion?
Takeshita, well, to me, I think that they had a great thing going with Daisuke Sasaki when he had his kind of flash win, the Money in the Bank or whatever type deal.
The contract you could cash anywhere, anytime. They quickly explaining this concept. This is not... similar to Money in the Bank, but they give out, I think, around 5 of those contracts. The wrestlers that have the contract are wearing somewhat of a bracelet at their on their arms, and they defend this contract every time in every match. And if someone pins one of the guys holding these any time contracts, they win it for themselves, and they can cash it in at any time. And for example, you can say right now, like Daisuke Sasaki did with pinning Harashima for the TOD Openweight title, or you can just say, I'll cash it in on July 3rd, like Yuko Miyamoto did with Konosuke Takeshita.
Yeah, and I did see that match. I thought it was a solid match. Him versus Sasaki was okay. I didn't think it was a great match, to be honest with you. His match versus Sasaki, I thought the Miyamoto match was slightly a level above. But I kind of hope Ishikawa wins because he's amazing. But, you know, Takeshita, he's fine. He has a, you know... in terms of DDT, he's not one of my guys, let's just say. I love Higuchi. I love Ishikawa. I love Kazuki Hirata. Hiroshima's a great ace. Iri, as you said. But, you know, Takeshita, he's fine. He's not someone I love or anything like that, though.
The issue with Takeshita is they are really pushing him so hard. He's only been wrestling for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And they are somewhat positioning him as this high school good-looking guy with his baseball jacket and all this stuff he has going for him.
Yeah.
But I really don't think that he is at the level they are pushing him right now. He is certainly very good, and he had some buzz around him when he made his debut, and he had a match with Tanahashi, and a lot of people were figuring that he might go to New Japan, but he's still in DDT right now on top. I think he needs a couple of more years to really figure out what his style is, what he brings to the table in wrestling.
I thought he had a really great match versus Kodaka earlier this year.
Oh yeah, amazing match. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That to me was where he stood out. But as champion, this run he's got, it's still short. It's still young in the title reign. But I haven't been overly impressed with his matches. But you know, like I said, you can understand what they saw in him and why they pushed him. But I kind of agree with you. I kind of see exactly what you're saying. In contrast to someone like Higuchi, who's been around even shorter, but he's just a natural. You know, he just gets it. You can see it that he has it right now. Takeshita's still got some growing to do, and we'll see. Like I said, I don't want to completely be down on him, but I you know, this title reign hasn't been that great to me.
It's going to be interesting to see how he does with Ishikawa on top for the Super Bowl show. Of course. The draw itself is the promotion. DDT is drawing very good, but with Takeshita on top, I don't know how well they do.
We'll see. I think it'll be a test of Ishikawa as well. You know, normally they've had Hiroshima and Kota Ibushi, you know, in years past, and guys like that. This year is going to be really interesting to see these two, but. I'm confident that Ishikawa will bring the best out of him. And by bring the best out of him, I mean obliterate him. And it will be fun for all of us to watch. Those are my expectations for that match.
DDT is such a strange promotion, of course. I don't think they had such a great run this year. But they always manage to bring up new guys and to build up new guys like... For example, we talked about Tetsuya Endo, Shigehiro Irie, of course, Konosuke Takeshita, and all those guys. They are nobody in DDT is like the other. You can pretty much say that.
That's a great point.
They are so diverse in their presentation of guys, which has brought them a really really giant fan base. And they, for example, they did this three count deal with Makoto Oishi, Mao, and Shuma Katsumata, positioning Mao and Katsumata with a guy who has been around for some years now, Makoto Oishi. And also always these kind of deals with bringing up new guys, or now the new tag team of Keisuke Ishii and Koki Iwasaki. Ishii has been around for some time now, for some years, and Koki Iwasaki is a new guy climbing the ranks, and he's positioned with a guy with an experienced guy, and so they are slowly evolving more and more guys to be in top positions.
Yeah, like you said, I really love that point, and I hadn't even thought about that deeply until you said it. But just looking at their roster up and down, you're totally right that they're one of the best companies at differentiating their guys. Every single person stands out in their own way. As we said earlier, like, Hiroshima has been kind of their ace for a while now. Takeshita seems to be, like, who they have in mind as his successor in a lot of ways. You wouldn't know it looking at Hiroshima, but he's actually pretty old. He's in his 40s now. As we've seen with Higuchi, I think he's a great prospect, as we talked about many times. I really like Kazuki Hirata and his comedy, you know, his Magnum Tokyo gimmick. Ishii, as you said, he teamed with Yuri for a long time, and now he's got this new tag team. I think that's a great use of someone like him, who they don't have pegged as a top type guy, and who's been in a long time tag team. They broke up the tag team, it's time for something new, and they give him a new guy that he can help. He can actually be a positive influence in this company, rather than just languishing, as some other companies would have, just have him languishing in the mid-card and not really doing anything of note.
Yeah.
Even if he's not doing anything of note, you know, on the surface, it still means something to help him along. So I think you're totally right. DDT is a well-put-together company up and down.
Yeah, Sanshiro Takagi has been doing a great job with his company, with all the crazy stuff that has been happening in DDT for years now. I believe a lot of guys listening, and I hopefully we have also girls listening, but I'm not sure of that.
Evidence says we don't. strong guess that we don't.
A lot of listeners have, I believe, seen a Final Deletion this week with the Hardy Boys going all out, going all crazy. And DDT has done similar things in recent years, just positioning themselves as a company that doesn't take wrestling too seriously, and going for those DDT campground shows they have been doing with Kota Ibushi firing fireworks or doing a moonsault off a bridge, or Sanshiro Takagi doing a shoulder block against a running car, and all that all that crazy stuff.
Who can forget the time Kota Ibushi spent 1 hour going through an apartment of wrestlers? One of my favorite clips of DDT.
Yeah.
So if you can find that, check it out, listeners, because it's awesome.
Definitely. But yeah, as we were talking about DDT and their positioning of guys, another company who's doing an excellent job with positioning their guys and building up new talent is, of course, Dragon Gate. And I've been going through the King of Gate tournament this week, watching a lot of matches from this year's tournament, and as I said, with Irie standing out for DDT, for the King of Gate, I really had Akira Tosawa, Eita, and Big R Shimizu standing out.
I think you've seen more of this than I have, but I was just going to say Big R was my favorite guy in this tournament. Really, by far. I thought him and Yamato both were kind of my top two. To me, I watched the last show, the very last show of this, with the two semifinals and the finals. And I really liked how they set up the show in the opening, where they showed the contenders, you know, the four semifinals. They showed them sitting by themselves in a hall, in like this hallway,
yeah,
or whatever this was. Each guy was sitting by themselves, pretty much, in like an empty room. And I really thought, to me, first of all, I thought the final well over-delivered. Like I said, just give everyone some of your thoughts on some of the earlier tournament matches, and I'll jump in on the semifinals.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the earlier matches. This was a really, really long tournament. It started in early May, and it went through June 12th. And on the first day of this tournament, actually, just let me quickly get my stuff together here, there was a great match between Akira Tosawa and Shima on the first day of the tournament. Then we had on the second day of the tournament. That was actually a live airing on Nico Nico. I saw that show live with Akira Tosawa versus Eita. And they had this match again for the, I don't know if you saw that on the final show. They had this match again at the final, the second to last show for the Block B division, for the Block B decision match, between Tosawa and Eita. And they have really, really great chemistry together. On the second day of the King of Gate tournament, this was a time limit draw between Tosawa and Eita. And that led to the second to last day, them being at the same level of points, and then having another match, which was again awesome and had some of the elements of the first match they did. And what this tournament has really shown is, of course, Dragon Gate is known for their crazy six-man tag team matches, which Dragon Gate has been known for delivering on these Ring of Honor shows a couple of years back.
Yeah.
But when you've seen some of those tournament matches from the King of Gate, if you just give them time, you just give them time and let them do their stuff, there are really, really good singles performers as well, if they just don't go too long.
Yeah.
And one thing I really realized throughout this tournament is that Akira Tosawa is one of the most exciting finishing stretch guys in wrestling.
I thought that I really liked his match with Eita, as you said. I did see that Block B decision match. It went about 15 minutes or so, I would say, give or take. I thought they put on a
15
great
minutes,
match.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel a second overlong or anything like that. I really enjoyed Big R versus Mochizuki.
Yeah.
Big R, to me, as I said, was, to me, the standout guy of this tournament. And I thought his run really built up well into the finals. He's a totally different guy stylistically from much of the DG roster. He's kind of like I said, one Haas wrestler type person, big powerhouse. He's got a mohawk.
He's a lot like Tank Nagai from K-Dojo, actually.
Yeah. That's a great comparison. Almost kind of like Ryback as well.
Yeah.
But I thought him and Mochizuki was awesome, and I really loved. The last time we talked about Dragon Gate, it was a few months ago. But I said I really loved the Dia Hearts faction. I'm not a huge Dragon Gate fan stylistically, but they had like all the guys I liked: BB Hulk, Mochizuki, Big R, And they had a great match together, as I expected, Big R and Mochizuki. Then we had Yamato versus Tozawa, which I believe was like the main event of that second to last show.
Right.
Was Yamato and Tozawa. And I thought that this match, by the end, I don't know what it was really, because I agree, like when Tozawa turned up on his comeback, he brought so much energy and the crowd really came alive when he did. And for much of this match, I thought Tozawa did a great job selling the leg, because a big part of that match was Yamato working on the leg. Also, before I get to the finishing stretch, I really loved Yamato's I Am Justice tights.
Yeah.
On the back of his gear. I think that's a great thing. And there was a point in this match where Tozawa was selling and Yamato was just kind of standing there looking at the crowd, and I thought, man, you really look just like the lead singer of 1 OK Rock, Yamato. And I just kind of got lost for a second. But as this match went on, there's a part of this match where I thought it really peaked, which was Tozawa doing the German suplex into the turnbuckles Yamato, which was just an incredible looking spot, very dangerous. But then it just seemed like things just kind of turned into things I don't like about Dragon Gate. And I have to say, I kind of soured on this, because it felt to me like Tozawa had spent this whole time selling the leg, all this leg work, and he just kind of blew it all off here. And I don't know what it was. It just kind of cooled me down, and I thought this match did go a little long.
It did go 19 minutes almost, and that's maybe... We talked about this when we talked about Okada versus Naito from Dominion, which went almost 30 minutes. Just cut a few minutes off, and then you'll have a much more exciting match.
I did think, though, that the commentary here was really great.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of passion from the commentary team. And that's something I've never really noticed from Dragon Gate, but they brought it in both of these, and pretty much all of the last couple of matches of this tournament. And the Galleria finish setup where Tozawa was running around and Yamato caught him spun around, I thought it was really cool. And it really made Tozawa look great kicking out of that. And just that extra touch of adding the second Galleria really made Tozawa look great, and that's kind of his role in this company for a while, is a bit of an underdog type player and big fan favorite. And Yamato's just adjusting to his role as kind of the babyface, obviously part of the Tribe Vanguard now. And I thought, like I said, as a match, there were some gripes with it, but I thought it did well for the Dragon Gate audience and putting both guys in their role. What did you think about that match, as well as the final match with Yamato and Big R? Because I have some takes on this match.
About Yamato and Tozawa?
Yes.
They're pretty much the same as you do. I'm really not too much into this kicking out of finishers to create drama for a match, because you can pretty much do it with a second finisher the guy has, which is not as effective as the first finisher he has. And he then has to go to his really big move to really finish the match, but really feel pretty much the same about this match. But before we go to the finals, I just want to, as we were talking about DDT and their positioning of guys, on this particular show, the second to last show, they did this match, the Block B decision match between Tozawa and Eita, and right after that, they had the three other guys coming out, and they were presenting the four semifinalists inside the ring, and they all had to pick balls from a box, and they then drew the semifinals, and I just hope that this was a shoot, and also Dragon Gate really has all those stables, all those flashy guys, and much like DDT, they also position their guys. They're much experienced guys with the younger guys to really elevate them to another level, which they have done with guys like T-Hawk when he joined Monster Express, or which they are right now doing with KZ and Yosuke Santa Maria in Tribe Vanguard, as you talked about them. And really well put together groups of guys feuding with each other, and much like DDT 2, Dragon Gate has a lot of female fans.
Oh yeah, that's another thing I wanted to mention too. On the opening video, when they had everyone sitting alone or whatever, after that they had a great opening video which sets up all the factions.
Yeah,
of Dragon Gate, and kind of introduces them all. And like you said, each guy has their own personality. Such as in Berserk, Shingo is different to Doi, and they're both different to Kotoka. Bleh. and, you know, Monster Express has their guys. Yoshino and T-Hawk are two totally different guys. But they just kind of work together, too. They do a good job of finding guys, even when they break up the factions and things like that. They just have a great way of putting guys together that seem like they belong. Much like Overgeneration. Dragon Kid was a great fit in Dia Hearts, but he's also great in Overgeneration. a great fit with Shiba.
Yeah.
And Pete Casa, who's got a lot of rave reviews as the foreigner in Dragon Gate. But I just want to get into this final match here of the King Gate.
Just one more thing. On this particular show, there was one of the funniest moments in wrestling this year, when Don Fuji and El Lindaman tagged and beat Gamma and punched Tominaga. Then El Lindaman took the mic, and Don Fuji wanted to shake his hand, but Lindaman just left, and Fuji was standing there almost frozen in the middle of the ring when the next set of music hits, and Yoshino and Tio come out, and then Kagetora and Susumu come out, and suddenly, Don Fuji realizes, "Oh, I have to leave the ring." Of course, I'm gone. I'm gone.
Don Fuji's awesome.
Like, yeah,
who doesn't love him? Just like the strong BJ, who doesn't love Don Fuji? Even if you don't like Dragon Gate, you have to like Don Fuji.
Right. But the final match. Yamato defeated Big R Shimizu in 24-15. And this really plays to the kind of issue I have with big Dragon Gate matches, as the middle part of this match I thought was really dragging.
Yeah.
Because they just, it seemed to me they were just stalling for time for some minutes, as they figured, okay, this is the final, this has to go long. And it didn't go as long as some Dragon Gate main events, but still 24 minutes was very long. But what I loved about this match, when we were just talking about all this legwork that ended up to pretty much be non-existent in the finish of Tosawa versus Yamato, in this match they really pulled it through.
Yes, I was just going to say it.
And I loved that they really finished the match with the cross arm breaker in the end.
It was so good. Like I said, I really enjoyed this match. There is something to be said for that the middle dragged. You're absolutely right on that. But I did think that they really pulled it together, as you said. Everything kind of played into the finish. And that arm work never went away on Big R here. We've seen him go for the choke slam a couple of times, and both times Yamato pulled out a great counter. At one point, he did a great step-up flying armbar, and that did something. There's a really awesome sequence where Big R had a powerbomb, but Yamato countered it into a hurricanrana, but then Big R rolled through into another powerbomb, and his powerbomb here, it was a release powerbomb. It just looked incredibly beautiful.
His sit-out powerbomb is something else. Big R,
his sit-out powerbomb is good too.
Yeah. And he isn't necessarily the biggest guy, I believe, as most Dragon Gate guys are not. He's 5'9". But he has this incredible gimmick of... And also his finish is positioned to be really, really deadly, as he has this elevated running choke slam, basically, which is the shot put slam.
Really cool move.
Really cool move, and I think he's really one of those guys who is the future for this company. The issue I sometimes have with Dragon Gate fans is that there are a lot of guys who are elevated, and a lot of guys, they catch fire, but it somehow seems that the Dragon Gate audience then drops them. As I think we have talked about this on the episode we talked about Dragon Gate.
Yeah, we had that conclusion, and I totally agree with it still. I was actually reading some comments, and they were saying, Big R is just now getting it. And I was like, but he's really good.
Yeah.
I thought this one had, Yamato was great too, but I thought Big R totally carried himself so well in this match, in his role. He plays a perfect role for this company. Another part I want to mention just before the finish of this, Yamato hit this fireman's carry into the Galleria, and the announcer again put in so much passion. I thought that added so much to this match was the commentary. And Big R had this moment where he just hit like a bunch of German suplexes in a row. It was totally reminiscent of Slexy here, and I thought it looked devastating. His moves look great. As you said, he's not the biggest guy in the grand scheme of things, but in Dragon Gate, he comes across as a total monster. And the finish, he counted the shot put slam into a flying arm, Yamato did. I thought this looked great.
Yeah.
As I said, I really enjoyed this match, and I thought that it was a worthy final, and I'm not a huge Dragon Gate fan, but this was a legit match, like I thought.
It really was, and
yeah.
This of course sets up the main event for the Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival as right after the final for another great visual of things that Dragon Gate just puts out.
Yeah.
The champion Shingo Takagi comes to the ring, and they just face off in the ring, and Takagi is about to leave, and Yamato says something to him, and he gets so angry and just lariats Yamato to the ground.
And Shingo's a great champion.
Yeah, he is.
And not just as a wrestler, but just as a champion. Like I said, like I mentioned earlier with Miyahara, he's just got something as champion right now, this, dick heel that he's really stumbled upon for a long time. He never really was able to connect as his, babyface Shingo Takagi self. But ever since this run with Berserk, he's really just been a strong champion. He's going to bring a lot of power to this match against Yamato. And this is really what they were setting up in that cage match when Doi turned on Yamato and we saw the formation of the tribe, Tribe Vanguard. And this is what I thought would happen when we talked about it on that show. And it's coming to pass, and I'm looking forward to that match. Like I said, I would definitely be checking that match out when it happens at Kobe World.
Yeah, it's Kobe World. We have some matches for the show that's going to be in the Kobe World Hall. It's the big Dragon Gate show of the year, where they have essentially their biggest matches. Some matches are known right now. We talked about the main event. We talked about Masakatsu Funaki on that show as well. He has a special tag match with Don Fujii against Masaki Mochizuki and Yoshiaki Fujiwara. We have the Brave Gate title match, Yosuke Santamaria defending against Eita. And Yosuke Santamaria, she is another of those outstanding performers that just broke out this year.
I'm not a big fan.
All right.
I have these exotico gimmicks. This is something carried over from Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Maximo is sexy. In CML is kind of their version. And just these gimmicks are so wacky and over the top. It's like, it's fine, I guess. But for Dragon Gate, they're another promotion that has their kind of goofier moments sometimes. And they also have, as you mentioned earlier, they have a lot of female fans. And this kind of gimmick goes over well with them. So, Yosuke, I'm sure the match will be fine. Like I said, I'm just not a big fan of hers.
She had a great moment with Lindemann on the show they had yesterday, where Lindemann beat Mondai Ryu very quickly and then got attacked by Berserk. And Yosuke came to Lindemann's help, and then they embraced and hugged. And just a very, very... a beautiful moment. But going on with this card, we have the usual Open the Triangle Gate Championship 3-way 6-man tag match with Masato Yoshino, Akira Tosawa, and T-Hawk defending against Shima, Dragon Kid, and Peter Kasa, as you just mentioned, him being in Dragon Gate for some weeks now. And also the third team, BB Hulk, KZ, and Flamita. He's back in Dragon Gate.
Yeah, that sounds like a really fun match. All nine of those men bring different things to the table. Like I said, Picasso's got a lot of rave reviews. Flamita, very well liked and respected, both in Lucha Libre and among Dragon Gate faithful. It's good to see him back. He had a rough year.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm so happy for him that he's back in the company that really put him on the map on a worldwide scale after this mess he has been going through.
Yeah, he won't have to worry about anyone coming at him with guns or anything like that, or taping his mask off or being left out in an office for 9 hours. He won't have to deal with these things anymore in Dragon Gate. So that is what I'm happy with him, and he's a very talented wrestler, flyer, as well as Pete Casa. Over Generation, always has fun stuff, always over with as the name says, over with the crowd. I'm a huge fan of BB Hulk. Of the Dragon Gate roster, and I think that'll be a really fun match.
Yeah, and quickly back to Flamita, you can listen back to all the stories that Conan, shout out to Conan right here, that Conan told about Flamita. As I said, I'm really, really happy for him that he's back here. And final match that is set for this show is the Open the Twin Gate Unified Tag Team Title Match. Jimmy Susumu and Jimmy Kagetora, the defending champions, going against Naruki Doi and Brother Yashi.
Susumu is another person that I've been a fan of in Dragon Gate, even when I've been at my grouchiest with the style. Susumu to me always stands out as someone really talented. This tag match, him, the interactions with him and Doi, I think will be really awesome. I'm not too high on Brother Yashi, to be perfectly honest with you.
He seems to be a great promo. I don't speak Japanese, but he's always so fired up in his promos.
Charismatic guy, but I don't think he's on the same level as in terms of being a worker as someone like Doi or Susumu or a lot of other guys.
But he certainly made a great comeback as of late. He was in Wrestle 1 as of late, 2 challenging for the tag titles, now in Dragon Gate challenging for the tag titles.
That is a good point, because he was nowhere for a while. And it is good to see someone like that make a comeback. I'm not against his involvement or anything like that, but I really want to see Susumu and Doi of these four go at it. But I think it'll be a good match, this Twin Gate match.
Should be a good show as well. This one is going head to head with Big Japan's show, as we mentioned on our last show. You can certainly pick what you like from this show, but it's a great day for Japanese wrestling, as we talked about. And
I do want to say one more thing about the King of Gate, especially those last semifinal matches in the finals. They were worked very traditionally, not necessarily the style of Dragon Gate.
Right.
I thought a lot of that. They brought a very traditional junior style. Some good work done. Nothing that'll make anyone go crazy over, I don't think. I just thought they did some real good stuff in there. Outside of that, the ending of that Tozawa Yamato match, I didn't like. But I thought the other matches and most of that match were very well worked, very traditionally worked. So it made me happy to see that they seem to be moving it into that more of a style, at least in big matches.
Yeah, and one guy really representing this junior style you just described is Eita. Eita has this El Numero Uno finish, this armbar finish. He has great transitions to this move, and he's going to be on a bigger scale as well, as he's representing Dragon Gate in the Super J Cup, and we will definitely talk about that Super J Cup on another show. We will be doing, as the Super J Cup the first round is on July 20th, and sometime around the week before that, we are probably going to talk about the Super J Cup that's coming up, which has a lot of great matches. And exciting times for wrestling coming up in July and August. A lot of content. A shitload of content coming up.
Oh, yes.
But I think we went through all of the topics that we wanted to talk about. Or is there anything else you wanted to mention?
I do. And this is something completely out of left field compared to everything we talked about. But it's something I really want to say here. It's actually something pretty serious. And very only mildly interacted with ProRes. Very minor. To fans of Lucha Libre and CMLL, I want to talk about a wrestler named Thunder.
Recently,
he succumbed to stomach cancer. He was only 34 years old. He wrestled in Okinawa Pro very briefly as Taipan.
Yeah, I was totally stunned that he was this guy that was in Okinawa Pro.
I know. Everyone thought that he was this other Australian guy in 01. Real Hero showed me a video one time and said, "Did you know he was in 01?" And we didn't know. It was actually someone totally different. He was in Okinawa Pro. Taipan. But the point is, he succumbed to cancer in the stomach. It was a very sad situation. And just the thing about him that I wanted to talk about briefly here is it's something that I think every fan, regardless of style, whatever you watch, should know. Because Thunder, he was not a good wrestler. There's no way really to understand. But the prevailing thought after his passing, and it was so sad, especially because it happened so fast. Like, the guy was healthy just a couple of months ago. We saw him wrestling just a couple of months ago. But the prevailing thought that I saw was a lot of people feeling guilty because they were really hard on him. And maybe they did cross some lines. I don't know. I don't follow everyone's Twitter. But, like, I think it's important to note that even bad wrestlers, and I'm guilty of this sometimes too, of burying people.
I think
or whatever.
Everybody is and feels bad about situations like these.
Yeah, exactly. But I do want to say that don't feel too guilty just for saying someone's, calling out someone who performs badly. My point on him was always that he was super green. I thought it was more the company's fault for pushing him so far up when he wasn't ready, and it was laying him out to dry, and he really became a punching bag in Lucha Libre circles. And there have been people in ProRes like this. You know, I'm sure you can think of a ton of different guys like this. You know, and whether it's Strongman or, you know, even someone like Inoki nowadays, a lot of people say crazy things about him, and many warranted, but, you know, Kendo Kashin, obviously I joke around about being a fan of his a lot, but just remember these guys are people, but, you know, also I would urge people not to feel too guilty just for saying someone's that you're not a fan of someone, and I hope anyone who felt that way isn't too hard on themselves, because nobody wanted this. Nobody wanted to see someone, you know, a good guy like Thunder. Nobody wanted to see this, and everybody knows that, so just keep that in your thoughts about Thunder, as well as your thoughts on the wrestlers that we watch, because no matter what you're watching, you never know what could happen to somebody like that. And it really struck me, and Thunder was obviously someone I was never a fan of personally, but it just kind of struck me the way it all happened, and it kind of brought everyone in Lucha Libre together like that. So just keep that in mind, Lucha Libre, American Wrestling, ProRes, just keep that in mind.
That's a great closing point. I really, really think those incidents really bring wrestling fans closer together. I hope fans on a worldwide scale keep getting closer together. It's been an amazing time for me, I think for you as well, to be connected with all those guys worldwide. Just being able to say I'm going to London this weekend and meeting guys from all over Europe, friends from all over Europe. It's just wrestling is so precious just to all their fans. And I briefly mentioned Final Deletion here on this show, and it was really incredible how well received this piece of art was, and how it's really. I've seen some people that didn't like what the Hardys did, but overall, I think it really did a lot for wrestling in general.
I totally agree with you on that Final Deletion. It is funny how. At face value, this is just like the goofiest thing ever.
Yeah,
but it really did. Like, you're totally right. Everyone kind of came together for this. At this point, this struggling promotion, and on my Twitter, it blew up that night. I was watching it. Everyone I knew was watching it. Going along, reciting certain phrases. It's a glorious xylophone. It's a dilapidated boat.
Oh yeah, oh, gotta watch it again. Gotta watch it again.
Yeah,
As you just said, I watched it around 7 a.m. on Wednesday. I was out all day, and when I returned home around 10 p.m., people were still buzzing about Final Deletion. Oh man.
And they said it did over 100,000 more people than the previous week for the show. That's great.
That's great for TNA. Yeah, really is.
Yeah.
But on that note, we're going to wrap up the show talking about many tournaments in this summer. Super J-Cup still coming up, the G1 Climax coming up. And yeah, Dylan, it's going to be really a busy time for the both of us. And what's new on Purisa Spirit?
I've actually been a bit on hiatus the last week on the website, but I will like to say that I am coming back Monday with a new article, new feature, looking at Mr. G1 himself, Masahiro Chono. And besides that, we obviously have all the news, G1, Super J Cup, all the things that we're looking forward to will be on Pro Res Spirit. And everyone check it out for results, as well as my articles, which I'm working on putting up. Slowly but surely, as I somewhat slack off sometimes with these things, but obviously I'm in the middle of the Sky Blue hot-blooded young man. I'm looking for love still, and that takes away some of my time. I have to have my priorities straight, Strigger, you know.
I know.
But besides that, Everything will be updated. The results, me, Charles, we'll do great. And I know. Follow me on Twitter at Dylan0PS. And where can they find you at, Striga?
Of course, on Twitter as well, at Striga, STRIGGA, as well as on PuraLove.com. And I've got to say, this past weekend, I've been out a lot. I struggled to catch up with all the stuff. And just on Tuesday, I found out, hey, Tenzan is in the G1. I totally missed that over the weekend, but because I just wasn't online last weekend. But I've been trying to catch up with all the important stuff. Obviously, the final G1 lineups are out on different outlets, so I didn't have to put that up. I thought, and just going along with the tide right now, with pro wrestling, and also check us out at cagematch.net. We have some awesome new stuff in the database basically every day. And
amazing website.
Thank you. people always figure that I'm running the site, because a lot of people connect me with Cage Match, but actually I'm not running the site. It's a guy by the name of Philip who runs the site, actually.
I can relate to you so much on that, because everyone thinks that I run Pro Wrestling Spirit, but I don't. It's my man Charles runs that.
Yeah. All right, man. Then let's wrap it up, and so thank you for listening. Keep up with MLW Radio. A lot of stuff is changing around here. Things will keep changing, and I hope for the better.
It's going to be some great times coming up for the MLW. Great vibes.
Great times, great vibes. That's a great point to wrap it up. So, goodbye and thanks for listening.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.